Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Tuesday at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. What did you think of that doozy of Monday Night Football game last night with 40-mile-an-hour winds and three passing attempts from Mac Jones?
I mean, I still can't get over the fact that the guy threw three passes. I understand, you know, Buffalo got to the point where they had to throw it particularly late in the game, but, you know, and I think we talked on the show before about how New England has kind of discovered that it is a very run predicated defensive team over the course of the season. But yeah, I mean, that's something that's just crazy to me to ever see a game in a situation like that. That wasn't, I mean, I know it was windy, but you show me quarterback stats like that, I would have been like, oh, it must've been like a complete, you know, the snow must've been 3 feet deep. Like, I know, it's just, to shift to just running it and doing whatever they could to not have to put that game in the hands of you know, Mac Jones in that situation was pretty interesting. And I think that, to me, it probably proves that New England now is capable of, you know, beating teams in whatever way, you know, they necessarily have to do it. Although, you know, it does make me wonder, I do wonder, are they capable of getting into a shootout where Mac Jones has to throw the ball 40 times and, you know, can they put up numbers against an AFC team if it's got to be a, you know, 40-37 kind of a game?
No, I'm glad you went there, because I'm sorry. I don't come away from this thing like, oh, Belichick and the Pats, they're it was weird circumstances. Good for them, and discredit to the Bills for not being able to finish in the red zone and not being able to figure out, like, they're running a toss sweep on 3rd and 8. Like, just that what they're doing, you know, and stopping it. But I don't know. I have a hard time still buying them. But then again, I just don't know who to buy in the AFC. I'm buying, like, a wild playoff that we're about to get.
Well, I mean, look, if they beat Indianapolis, I mean, it's that's the thing, is when you looked at the wins coming into this game, the Patriots' wins weren't great, you know. We're sitting there going, oh, okay, well, they've just, you know, they've beaten every good team you could think of in the AFC. And no, this was a game that was important for them to win, and then they do it, but it's also an inclement weather. It's impressive. It's definitely impressive, and it definitely, I think, puts the stamp on, you know, the legitimacy of the team defensively. There's no question in my mind. And the fact that they really can run the football even when the Bills knew, like, hey, they're going to have to run the football in this game. They couldn't stop it. And remember, you're also talking about, you know, Harris had a hamstring. Sorry, I got something caught in my throat.
All good, buddy.
Harris had a hamstring in this game, which obviously impacted it. But, again, I just go back to, you're going to get into a game at some point in the AFC where you can't protect Mac Jones. He's going to have to throw 40 passes. And I don't know that the weapons are there, you know, necessarily for them to win that kind of a game. They're going to have to prove that at some point. And I do think, you know, I still want to see them beat, you know, Indianapolis, which in a way kind of looks, it mirrors, you know, New England at this point. It's a very defensive run predicated team. And I don't want to say I would take Wentz over Mac Jones, but let's be honest. I mean, Carson Wentz is playing some pretty good football in spots too. So I don't know. We'll see how this shakes out. It's not as clear. I think the NFC has sorted itself out a little bit more right now than the AFC has, even though I do like what New England's doing.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, you may roll your eyes at this question, and that's fine, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it possible that we're not talking enough about Tom Brady? He's 44 years old. He's thrown 34 touchdowns. He's on pace to throw for over 5,000 yards this year. I mean, I get it. The dude is defying science like every year. But, I mean, what he's doing at 44 years old is pretty ridiculous out there.
Well, first and foremost, let me just try not to choke to death, okay, before I start rolling my eyes. I think the thing about Brady is that, in a weird way, if you attach someone else's name to what, you know, his statistics are, what he's doing, I'd be over the moon, you know. If it's like Kyler Murray, okay, here are Kyler Murray's stats right now. And Kyler Murray having a great season, you know, if he hadn't missed those three games, he's maybe the MVP front runner right now. But if you take other quarterbacks and you stick Brady's stats on them and the win-loss record, we're probably over the moon. But because it's Brady, we're just kind of blasé about it. We're just so used to seeing this consistency from him. And even the whole age element has worn off a little bit, at least for me. I'm just like, okay, whatever. Like, I stopped even questioning whether a cliff was coming, because I'm like, clearly it's not. Whatever he's doing, he's erased the cliff. It's really amazing that we're talking about an MVP race where you're probably going to see people who are voters, and I have a vote. They're going to give everyone else an extra chance to beat this guy. You're going to go, well, okay, we know Tom's great, but how good is Aaron Rodgers? Okay, but really, how good is Kyler Murray? And it's just because you look at Brady and you just say, well, we've seen this before. We know what he is. You can't just automatically give the guy the MVP every year. And I think I saw that even last year. As great as Rodgers was, Brady put up a fantastic season. But I feel like he kind of carries this sort of negative, not negative, sort of slant toward him, but he just doesn't get really credit the way that he should, because he does it. He's such a machine, one year after the next, cranking this out. And I'll tell you what, there's a real chance that we end up seeing like New England Tampa in the Super Bowl. That's definitely a possibility. And I don't think there's any question now when I look at the NFC. It feels like it's Cardinals Bucks. Like, we're trying to sort out what the AFC picture looks like. Well, now when I look at the NFC, I'm like, at least the NFC, I feel like Cardinals Bucks is pretty clear to me right now.
Really? That surprises me, because I just had to do some power rankings, Charles. Very important stuff.
Yes.
For The Athletic. I put the Packers number one. I love the Packers, yeah. D. And why do you hate the Packers, Charles?
I don't hate the Packers, and I think, you know, the Packers, obviously, if you're looking at how the number one seed shakes out, they have a better, you know, shot at earning that number one seed and, you know, taking it away from the Cardinals than the Bucks do. I think the thing about the Bucks that, now we'll see how this shakes out with Antonio Brown, but with the way Gronkowski's playing right now, and they're not going to cut Antonio Brown. Like, it's not going to happen. I would be absolutely stunned if Tom Brady cut Antonio Brown at this point. I just don't think he's going to do it. And I mean, you laugh, but let's be honest. Like,
I mean, that's the right way to say it.
I mean, that's who's going to have to cut Antonio Brown at this point. If when you sit there and you stare at the pieces, Mike Evans is what he is. Chris Godwin's, you know, we know what he is. Rob Gronkowski looks, once again, healthy, and he's playing probably at the peak of really what he's been for the Buccaneers since he's gotten there. And if Antonio Brown comes back into the fold, those four guys, and they're even getting contributions from Fournette, those four guys, unless pass protection breaks down, every single play they go out to throw the football, they're going to have at least one mismatch. There's no way teams can match up with all four of those guys every single snap. Someone is going to have a mismatch. And I just feel like when we see this kind of unfurl in the playoffs, as long as all those guys are healthy and, like I said, the pass protection isn't breaking down, I don't know how teams are going to defensively handle them. And I think they're actually going to be a much better offensive team down this stretch than they were last year. I feel like this is the potential Super Bowl run with Tampa that's really accomplished more on being able to offensively boat race teams than last year when so much of it was predicated on defense. That's how much I like what that that set could look like for the and I do like the Packers, by the way. I do, and I think Aaron Rodgers is playing at an MVP level as well. I just think when you put the two against each other, as good as the Packers defense could be, as guys continue to get healthy, you're still going to have mismatches that they're not going to be able to handle consistently as long as all those guys are on the roster for the Buccaneers.
Charles, obviously, I mean, you could make the argument in the AFC that pretty much every team is Jekyll and Hyde to some degree so far this year, but the Chargers, to me, maybe exemplify that more than anybody else. What do you make of the Chargers? 1 week they look awful, and then they come back and just absolutely thrash the Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah, they're hard. It's really hard to put your finger on it. And it was the thing about the Bengals win, too. Really good win for them, no question about it. But also, you go up. It's like, what, 24-0, and then all of a sudden you have the Bengals that, you know, Joe Mixon, awful fumble, you know, that gets returned for a touchdown, completely changes the momentum of that game when they're only down 2 points and they're driving, and you're kind of feeling like, oh, man, this is where the Chargers are just going to completely botch this, and we get used to that. I think that's the problem for me with the Chargers is I just sort of wait. I'm like, okay, they look good, but I'm so used to them screwing this up. But obviously the mix and fumble happened, they return it, and they, you know, Joe Burrow's hand, throwing hand wasn't great. And I think that obviously helped the Chargers as well. They're talented. I can't put my finger on why the inconsistency is there. And it feels like it's on both sides of the ball. They're, you know, they have offensive inconsistency. Herbert, I mean, there are times where he's throwing up 50-50 balls that, you know, they're winning, which is great, but you're not always going to win 50-50 balls, and his numbers aren't always going to look that great. And so I don't know if that – some of it's at quarterback where, you know, he can get into these bouts of mistakes. I think defensively they're talented, but, you know, they're hurt a lot. And I thought it was really interesting to see Staley sit there and go, hey, you know what, Bosa's got a history of concussions. I'm gonna play the safe, which is great. It's really smart, actually, for a coach to go, hey, I'm not gonna sacrifice a guy, you know, when I don't have to. But I'm with you. I have a really hard time week to week, kind of figuring out what the Chargers are and why they're not consistent. But I don't think anybody can question that they have the talent if they put it together in a given game to probably beat anybody in the NFL. It's just, I don't know, particularly when it comes to a playoff race, can they do it 3 or 4 games in a row? I have my doubts because they still have not illustrated the ability to put away 3 or 4 good teams in a row in a really consistent fashion.
I guess I'm down on all these teams now, maybe least of all the Bengals, because I agree they were actually about to overtake that game, I think, and then you have a terrible mistake, but who the heck is going to win the AFC North? And the Ravens have, like, no players left.
Yeah, the Ravens, I mean, that secondary is just unbelievable. And it was interesting when they go for two and they don't get it. And I'm sitting there and thinking, like, why would John Harbaugh do that? But when he comes out afterward and says, hey, we literally don't have any corners.
No corners.
I'm like, oh, I'm like, yeah, he's actually telling the truth. Like, he doesn't. Like, but well, here's one thing, though. I will say this, and that it makes me – I'm curious. I wonder if John Harbaugh, a little bit of that might have been, how much faith does he have in his offense at this point to go into overtime and to be able to do what it has to? Because, look, I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's a great player. And, you know, I know how they feel about him inside that franchise. That's great. But he's also a guy who I'm like, when I name the top six quarterbacks, I want to put him in there. I have a harder time doing that when he will have a couple games in a row where you're just like, what are you doing? Like, he's sailing a ball, you know, throwing a pick, you know, there's fumbles. Obviously, when he plays Cleveland a couple weeks ago, I mean, there's the 3 consecutive possessions where he's turning it over, and they are clearly on him. The Mark Edwards throw, you know, the 2-point conversion, that was on him. That was a bad throw. It just was. And I know people, you know, kind of want to manipulate and go, well, you know, it could have been this or that. And he got, you know, he got, and Andrews, by the way, he got a hand on it. But I don't know, guys, like, at some point I want to see Lamar Jackson be consistent you know, and be an elite level quarterback who puts up four great games, has a stinker. Hey, and then after that, four great games and then a stinker. Like, to me, the elite guys have an ability to string together, you know, inside of a 16-game, now 17-game season. They might have three or four bad games, but the rest are top-shelf kind of quality games. And I still don't think he's there yet, and we don't talk about that enough.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road.
You know, we had a Charles, before you go, you know, we had Wetz on earlier, and he gave us his little Boston to New Orleans southern accent. Do you have a southern accent for us in honor of Brian Kelly?
No,
come on, you
not
live
at
in Texas,
all.
Man.
No, not at all. I love though that he attempted to do that. It was absolutely great that
he just loves his family, Charles.
and I'll tell you what, props to Jeff Darlington for going and finding literally the audio clip of him talking to his players.
Yeah.
Like 3 days later, I'm like, that is brilliant work right there. Like, that is the kind of investigative work that we need. And by the way, for whatever they're paying him, I mean, I don't know if we've ultimately determined for sure what he's getting paid. I would learn it. You can give me your, you know, books on tape. I'll figure it out.
That's
what
right.
Words do I need to, you know, curve my consonants a little bit. And I can say and speak however you need me to speak. And I am a little sad, by the way, that Notre Dame did not make it into the college football playoff, because I absolutely would have been the biggest Notre Dame fan in the playoffs had they.
No doubt. By the way, scenario?
I say scenario.
Yeah.
I don't.
You shouldn't
right?
even have to pause. Yes, it's scenario. Yes.
It's
this has been the
scenario,
big. This
right?
is the word of the day on the show.
That's right.
So, thank you.
I say scenario. So, and by the way, the scenario where Michigan State has a running back who doesn't get to New York for the Heisman is just ridiculous. Come on, man.
I agree. Like, I don't want us to be Sparty homers here, but that was bad. That was bad.
It's a bummer. It really is a bummer. And by the way, Aiden Hutchinson. He's a great player. He really is a fantastic player.
Yes.
But
they can both be in New York.
Just let five guys go. Come on. Can we just, like, why does it have to be four? Just add the fifth. It's fun seeing five guys in New York.
That's right. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to come on with us.
Okay, take care, John.
Absolutely. Amen. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Charles had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for joining us in the last segment. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Chris from Bellevue, who wants to weigh in. Chris, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, fellas. How's it going?
It's great, man.
Good.
So, Joe, first off, I love listening to you go against Jared on Fridays or whatever, so keep doing your thing, man. It makes me happy to see put the beat down on him.
Thank you. It's the Lord's work.
Well, you're doing it well, my friend. The question I had about calling in, which conference do you guys think is more interesting in the NFL right now? You know, NFC has powerhouses like Arizona, Green Bay, the Bucks, and then the AFC doesn't really have a clear-cut powerhouse, but there's a lot of interesting things going on at the top. So I'll hang up and listen. Thank you for your guys' time.
Hey, that's a great call. What do you think? What do you think is the more intriguing conference? The AFC, where there's not really seemingly an elite team at this moment, or the NFC that is very, very top heavy and it gets pretty bare as you go down?
I would answer it. So it's depending on like the situation, depending on the scenario.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Down the stretch of the regular season, I mean, I'm fascinated by the AFC.
Yep.
because, like, so many teams could get – like, the Colts could get left out. The Colts could make a run. The Chargers could get left out. The Chargers could make a run. Now, the Titans. I mean, I think it's still a stretch to think the Titans aren't going to win the AFC South, but, I mean, it's all on the table. So that's just a wild scramble to the end. So I'm more fascinated, and obviously, you know, more focused on the AFC, but, you know, covering an AFC team. But I think the playoffs, like, I mean, I know that I want to watch Tampa Bay and Green Bay play again. You know, I want to see if Arizona can beat one or both of those teams. Like, I know the big matchups that hopefully we're going to get in the postseason. And honestly, in the AFC, it's like, maybe the Patriots will be there, or maybe they are a fraud.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe the Titans get 22 back and they make a – like, I mean, there's a lot of interesting games, of course. They're both going to be fascinating. But I just – I'm already geared up for what we're going to get in the NFC playoffs, I think. And I don't know what the heck we're going to get in the AFC.
I'm similar. I mean, the playoffs, I don't think it's really particularly close. Like, the NFC – is going to be awesome. I mean, there are five teams in the NFC right now that are in. I mean, the Cardinals, the Packers, the Bucks, the Cowboys, and the Rams are in. And they're all really, really good, and they all have a chance to win.
Yeah, like the Rams. I mean, I know we're all down on them now, but you tell me that team doesn't have the goods to make a run? I think they do. So, yeah.
Now, the race coming down the stretch in the regular season, I agree. I mean, right now the Bills are the seventh seed in the AFC. The Colts are out of the playoffs. The Steelers are out of the playoffs. The Chargers are 7-5. The Chiefs are 8-4. I mean, there's so many intriguing teams. Like New England, they've won 7 in a row. Are they for real? Like, are they legitimately the best team in the AFC? Like, I don't know. Like, the Browns are 6-6. They're at 11 right now in the AFC. It's pretty crazy the way things have shaken out. So, like, the race coming down the stretch in the AFC, I think, is infinitely more entertaining. Like, right now, the NFC race is who's going to get the bye and be the one seed. Is it going to be Arizona, Green Bay, or Tampa Bay? Like, to me, those are really the three contenders for it at this point. Arizona would have to lose twice for Dallas and L.A. to get in that mix. Like, who's going to get the one seed, I think, is the big question mark there. And really, the way that that's a big deal is probably Green Bay, because today in Green Bay it's -1 degree. And it's not, obviously, in Arizona and in Tampa Bay. But other than that, like, the NFC's pretty much set in terms of – the top-heavy part of it at this point. Like, you know, at the end of it, you've got the Niners and the Washington football team and the Eagles and the Vikings that are all really right there. But,
and the Panthers and the Falcons, like, and the Saints, technically.
Does anybody really believe that any of those teams are legitimately a threat to the top part? Like, there's the Buffalo Bills right now are the 7th seed in the AFC. They're absolutely a threat to the top part.
They could be the top part before it's over. Yeah. No, there's a big line of demarcation in the NFC and not there at all in the AFC. So, we just
that's the scenario.
We didn't really that. That's right. That is the scenario.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. Get his thoughts on the Predators as they take on the Detroit Red Wings tonight. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time to welcome our friend Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, to the program here today on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. C. Mace, what's going on?
What's up, guys? Just enjoying the nice, brisk air today. That's about it.
What's it like up there in Detroit?
I'm not in Detroit.
Ah,
I am here.
That is correct.
And yes, and that is probably even brisker, I imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine that it is.
No, but I'm heading up tomorrow.
Very nice, very nice. Well, Chris, we appreciate you taking time to join us here today. So, C-Mace, obviously, that's an important 2 points the Preds get the other night with Philip Forsberg's goal in overtime against the Canadiens. Overall, what do you think about the Preds game as of late? What did you make of the homestand that they just wrapped up on Saturday night against Montreal?
I thought it was good. I didn't think the game in general was great, but I just find this team just has a certain resolve and kind of belief in what they're doing. They, you know, maybe in years past, you know, we always compare it to how they were before, but with this youth movement, and it seems to be a lot of the guys just have a renewed sense of team, I guess, and maybe desperation and work ethic. I really like the way this team works, and it's refreshing every single game, you know, whether they're, you know, playing well or playing a great hockey game technically or they're not, you know, they're always working. So it's a team I really like to watch because of that. And they find ways to win. I mean, that game against Montreal, again, it seemed like the longer that went, it was like, oh, you don't want to leave this team hanging around because they got some, you know, they got some guys that can score, and you saw what happened in Montreal, so I hope you learned your lesson. But at the end of the day, they found a way to win, and a combination of Juice being good, as he always is, and guys scoring. You know, that's they're getting the big goals from the big players, and I think that's the biggest difference with this team right now. You know, they've got a lot of wins this year, and they haven't played their best game, but find a way to win, and I think that's exactly how it was against Montreal, and I think they did what they wanted to do on the road trip. Obviously, they would have liked to take them all, but for the most part, they bagged some pretty big points.
So when a puck glances in off your stick the way it did for Eli Tolvanen the other night, Chris, is that even just a situation like that, can that get a guy going in the right direction and just in terms of producing?
Absolutely. I think, you know, he's just been just sniffing around. He's just been on the doorstep for so long. And, you know, when you come to the rink every day and you see that first game of the year, there's a one in the goal category. And you see that for the next, I don't even know how many games it was. It kind of gets to you, but I guess the one thing about him is he continued to play hard. And but when you're a goal scorer, you want to see some better numbers in that column. So now when he comes to the rink, he sees two. And that's you can't get to three without getting that second one. So I definitely think when, you know, you get a stroke of luck like that or whatever you want to call it, a tip goal or whatever the heck, doesn't really matter how it goes in as long as it goes in. I think that's, you know, that could be a start of a little run for him. And we've seen him in a short career, he can get on a pretty good roll and you get that confidence going. And it's funny, I talked to J.P. Dumont about, you know, when a goal scorer is in a slump like this, he's getting lots of chances. I'm like, what's the mindset? Like, what's going on? And he said, well, I said, when you're in a slump, he's like, you a lot of times you're just shooting to hit the net. You're getting the shots, but you're not shooting the score. And he said, there's a big difference of shooting the score. And I think we've kind of seen that with Tolvanen over the last little while. But, you know, once he gets one to break through, whether it goes off his butt or off his stick or whatever the heck it is, it's a goal. So, you know, analytically, he's been doing the right things and he's been getting the opportunities. And I'm more concerned when guys aren't getting the opportunities because then something else is going on in their game. But he's getting them. So I think now the next step is just finding that confidence in his game and shooting the puck like he can.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. See, Mace, obviously, since coming back from injury, the production has been there from Philip Forsberg. Where does the way that he's played over the last five, six games stack up to the hockey that you're used to seeing from Philip Forsberg? Do you think he's stepped it up a notch in your mind?
I do. I think he has. I think he's always been a really determined, competitive player. But like a lot of skill players, I don't always think his game has been as tight all the way around as in a 200-foot game and playing hard defensively. And I also think, too, I think for those guys, they've got a lot of pride. So when he's sitting out and he's seeing, you know, Matt Duchene light it up, Granlund, Joey's playing well, I think you come back with a different mindset. And a lot of the comments about, well, not only are they getting the results offensively, they're playing the game the right way. They're defending well. They're playing that 200-foot game that John Hines always talks about, and they're having success doing it. I think when he comes back, he goes, hey, you know, I want to be the guy they're talking about, and I want to be the guy winning hockey games. And, you know, obviously, I think last week we talked about the contract situation. I'm sure that's there, but I think most importantly, he's a proud guy, and he wants to be the guy. You know, we're waiting for him to be the superstar, the 30, 40 goal scorer that, you know, I believe he has the talent to do. Just a matter of putting it together consistently, and I really believe that he's playing the right way in terms of his overall game, and he's getting the puck on his stick more, and you can just tell he's a confident guy. So we've seen, you know, Phil do this before in stretches, and you know, he's streaky as a lot of guys are, but I think right now it's you know, in conjunction, I guess, with the entire team, I just feel it's, for some reason, this team just has a different mindset than it has in years past.
Seamus, I wanted to rope you in on a league-wide conversation we were having earlier, It feels like there's like a pool of coaches and GMs in this league who just sort of change addresses, and you don't see a ton of new blood. First of all, that's my perception. Do you agree with that? And why do you think that is?
I do, and I think I get it in a way because coaches get fired all the time. I think they can come in and be successful with a new group, but I think they have a shelf life, and I don't really know. You see sometimes guys coming up from junior or college or whatever, and I think the fear is, how do we go? We just fired a guy. We want to turn this team around. It's easy just to go back to the stable of recycled coaches and say, well, this guy had success here, or he had success here. Yeah, he got fired eventually, like all coaches do. But it's easier to, I think, just go to the bullpen of guys that have had experience, and you kind of know what you're getting. The other way, it's kind of like an experiment. It's like, all right, we're going to make a bold move here and try something. And usually when you fire your coach, you're trying to turn your team around and you want something proven. But, the game's changing. And I guess if coaches are willing to evolve, change their personnel, change their way of thinking the game and coaching the game and, including analytics and all this type of stuff, I think you can look at that situation. But I agree with you. It's kind of, well, who's going to, Boudreaux gets hired in Vancouver. Who's the next one? Who's in Philly right now? I don't even know who got the, I think it's an interim, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Mike Yeo, yeah.
Mike Yeo, so there you go. He's another one. He's an assistant coach, but he's getting a crack at it. So we'll see how it shakes out. But other than that, I don't really know where you're going to get a guy unless you promote your American League coach or get some guys that have had success in the minors or over in Europe. But I agree with you. I think it's time for some new guys to get some opportunity here. But again, I don't really have an answer for that other than, guys, I think teams want to take the safe route and pick a proven commodity.
Prince TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:30. See, Mace, appreciate you, my man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Absolutely. You as well. We'll come back, react a little bit to what C-Mace had to say there. Got more of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Sonny texting in. What happens first? Does Brady retire or he falls off the cliff performance-wise? I'm glad that Sonny clarified the performance-wise and not Brady literally falling off the cliff. Yes, that'd be a tough one.
No one wants that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does he? That's a great question. I mean,
He probably should be the front runner right now for NFL MVP. It's a weird year where like if Kyler Murray stays healthy, it's probably his award to lose at this point. And you have it seems like every time somebody takes a hold of the conversation, they either get hurt or it falls off. But, I mean, Brady, he's got 34 touchdowns. He's going to throw for over 5,000 yards. He might hit 45, 48 touchdowns at 44 years old. He's turned the ball over a little bit this year. He's got 10 picks. So he's turned the ball over. But, I mean, he's completing 68% of his passes at 44 years old.
Are you discounting Rodgers? It's hard. For one, you got he just won it.
Right? Yeah. I think it's going to be very difficult.
You got the back stuff. Does that hurt him?
I think it does, to be honest with you. I think that does hurt him. He did just win it. He's got 23 touchdowns, 4 picks, 3,000 yards. His numbers have been good.
Not eye-popping.
I think the last couple of weeks is where they've kind of started to hit their stride offensively, and they're getting some bodies back now, so they could end up being really good coming down the stretch here. And if that's the case, I think he's got a chance. I just think with him winning it, and I do think the VAC stuff is part of this, I think it's going to be hard for him to win.
By the way, one of the dumbest things I heard last week was why when Antonio Brown and those, you know, with the fake vax card, people were like, why didn't Rodgers get the same punishment?
Because the NFL knew about it, and it wasn't a fake vax card.
Like, are you a Heisman voter? Yeah. What?
That's some interesting stuff going on there with Tampa.
Yeah, but I totally agree with Charles.
No, he's not going to get cut.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, Aaron's like, Mr. Come out big, strong again. Then, things happen.
That's right. Jim on the text line, what would you think of having a Heisman nominating committee of folks like Joe who pay attention? The committee could nominate 10 to 20 top players for the Heisman voters to vote on, as they do now. Would that improve the selections?
Well, I don't think that. Well, I mean, though, all the guys we've talked about today would all be on that list, so I don't know that it would really change things. Yeah, it's a big, 900 people or whatever it is. I think my ballot number is like 697 or something. You know, like it's a big thing, and there is a lot of like regional, go with your region kind of thing, or go with your team if you're a total homer, which like the fact that Stroud made it to New York. So we did a straw poll at the Athletic, right? And he did not show up at all on the straw poll. Now this is just, it's a small sample of people. Most of them are voters. How does Stroud get there? Bunch of Buckeye homers voting him in. Like Hutchinson has a strong case to be in New York. I have no problem with him. He's a great player. It's just that he can't be there and Anderson not be there.
Right.
Right? That's my problem with it. But I don't know what the answer is. The answer is let's just continue to complain when crappy votes like this happen.
Shane from Ashland City texting in. What did y'all think of the Pittsburgh QB faking that slide for a touchdown? It looked cool and people loved it, but I saw just another reason the game is broken and the offense gets too many assets.
I thought it was an awesome move. It was an awesome play. And kudos to him for doing it, not blowing his knee out, and finishing the run. I think it's a one-time you could ever use that move. And the whole problem is that whoever the nearest official was should have seen it and blown the whistle and said, you started your slide.
Yep.
And then you're down right there, and that's that. And so I don't see this becoming something.
No.
I mean, it's like – and maybe it has to be addressed in the rules. But, again, it's just the officiating crew. As soon as you start seeing a guy slide, I mean, again, where do they put the ball down? They put the ball down where they start to slide.
Like it's kind of already in the rule.
Yeah, like he started his slide.
Right.
And then he just decided not to finish the process, but you just got to blow the whistle. But, I mean, at the time, I was like, dude, that was sweet.
Yeah. No, it was cool. I will say, like, I agree. I don't think this is going to become like some sweeping thing that quarterbacks do now to fake a slide, because probably most of them can't do it as gracefully as Kenny Pickett did on that play.
And it'll get shut down.
It'll get shut down, and it should, because you can't have it both ways. You can't protect the quarterback from getting hit late and then allow stuff like that to happen. Like that cannot happen, and it won't. Like I don't anticipate this being a big problem.
Yeah, you can't let quarterbacks exploit the loophole that protects them. You know, like it's already a lot of protection.
Yes.
And a lot of, I mean, some of these calls, you can complain about those every week too. Last night there was a bad, I thought, out of bounds call on the Patriots, by the way.
Yeah.
Not a quarterback thing, but another. I don't think that wasn't Josh Allen, was it? Or maybe it was.
It was.
It was Josh Allen. Yeah, like that. I mean, he's trying to keep him from getting the first down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but good on you, Kenny Pickett. I mean, that was pretty crafty.
Tune in, turn every Tuesday into payday with TNT Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose. FanDuel giving all customers $10 back every Tuesday. Just bet a $10 or more same-game parlay wager on any NBA on TNT game. Same-game parlays let you combine the money line, the point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. The Celtics and the Lakers in action tonight. Nice old NBA rivalry there. Give me the Celtics on the money line in this game, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting the NBA with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. So if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. NFL.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Joe, that's going to do it for us today. Going to be interesting to see this week how active Julio Jones is for the Titans at practice and what that could mean for his status coming up on Sunday.
Big practice tomorrow. You don't see too many December practices that are really interesting, but tomorrow will be. See if Julio and all the other guys are out there.
Julio, David Long Jr., is Harold Landry out there? Are they giving him maybe a couple extra days off? Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, I don't think. So going to be really interesting to see what happens on that front from the Titans standpoint. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Show. We will be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is up next. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your day. Stay warm out there. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.